How many of us find ourselves struggling with a bad habit that we wholeheartedly wish to break free from? We have prayed about it and made promises to ourselves that we are not going back to it or never doing it again, but we just keep doing it over and over again. It could be something not so harmful like chocolate, sugar, TikTok, or it could be something that jeopardizes your relationship with God, your purpose, affects your future, keeps you in bondage like drugs, alcohol, weed, pornography, men, women. And you know how bad this is for you. You know how much it is affecting you and everything around you, but you just can't stop no matter how much you try. You just can't stop doing it. You just can't stop picking up the blunt. You just can't stop going to that website. And every time you tell yourself, okay, this is the last time, I'm not gonna do this again, but you find yourself falling back into it. And after you get the satisfaction from this addiction, you feel guilty, you feel filthy, but that does not stop you from going back to it. And you're tired of this merry-go-round, of this cycle of feeling the desire, fulfilling your flesh, then you feel the guilt, ask God for forgiveness, and then you do it all over again. And maybe you're tired of asking God for forgiveness and you feel like, honestly, there's no hope, but I'm here to tell you that there is. And it doesn't matter how strong the bondage is, how many years you've been addicted, our God is greater and bigger than every bondage that we find it so hard to overcome. Hello guys, and welcome to Dead to Self podcast, a podcast navigating Christianity in your 20s and how to be in the world and not of it. Please excuse the noise. I think there are like a few birds chirping because I'm outside. I just watched the sunrise and it was just so beautiful. Like, I just felt God in the most beautiful way. Like, if you feel sad, please watch the sunrise. And the birds are doing a lot right now, but it's just so peaceful. Wow, yeah, they're doing a lot. It's just so peaceful. I don't want to go in. I just want to be in nature while recording this podcast. So please permit the noise. Please permit the noise. Anyways, today we're gonna talk about dying to habitual sin and overcoming addictions. An addiction is the uncontrollable pursuit of a substance, behavior, or activity despite the negative consequences. It is something that we have lost control over. It often starts as a little seed, right? I'd say it starts as a seed of deception. Our enemy, the devil, will trick and mislead us into believing something that is not true. Deception is the lies that we believe that leads us to doing what we're not supposed to do. He would mislead you into thinking that the sin will satisfy you, that the sin will fill the void. And then the deception now turns into temptation, the eagerness we feel to get it done. To satisfy the deception, the devil looks for the moment where you are at your weakest to tempt you so you can easily fall. And then the temptation turns into sin when you actually fall for the temptation of smoking or drinking or watching porn and so on. And the sin turns into habitual sin. It now becomes a habit. Then the habitual sin turns into addiction. It now controls us and we have no control over it. That is how addictions are born, from deception to temptation to sin to habitual sin, and then the worst of all, addiction, where you are in the pit and you are suffocating and you know you're suffocating and drowning, but you just cannot save yourself. Our addictions are usually there as a replacement of God's presence in our lives. It's always a God-sized void that we look for all the other things in the world to fill up. It could be a coping mechanism, and sometimes it can be rooted in unhealed pain or trauma. with addictions, you give the enemy permissions into your life. Like, not only are you being addicted to what God does not want from you, what God is protecting you from, but you invite the devil to plant seeds of doubt, fear, guilt into your lives. Not only is it like an invitation for the devil to get into your life, but you are compromising the promises that God has for you for this temporal pleasure. Because like I said in my God Has Standards 2 episode, God's promises does not come to pass simply because you gave your life to Christ, but you have to present yourself as a vessel that is honorable and holy for God to use you. And God despises sin. Sin disgusts God. Being addicted is living in your sin. So God cannot give you the promises He has for you when you live in your addictions, when you live in your sin. And God truly has great things planned for us. Never think that any addiction, no matter how good the temporal satisfaction is worth the promises that God has for you. He said in 1 Corinthians 2:9 that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has in plan for those that love Him. And when He says that, He means it. So you really have to ask yourself, is the addiction worth fulfilling your God-given purpose and living in God's promises? Like, are you really okay with trading God's promises with temporal pleasure? Emphasis on temporal, because there's no one who is a Christian and would say that after smoking, getting drunk, watching porn, you feel so good afterwards. No one can say that, because I can testify of this. Like, you feel so ashamed and guilty and you want to hide yourself from God, but you still do it. Man, it's the fact that we still go back to it. Like, it's a strong bondage that only God can break. And I think that most of us hide behind God's grace and mercy, telling ourselves that I'm just gonna do it, it's the last time, I'll ask God for forgiveness, I'll pray after doing it. Like, we really take God's mercy for granted. And I used to do this more than once a day. I'll go back to the sin and then ask God for forgiveness, pray, crying and meditating on Psalms 51, you know, asking God to create a clean heart within me and restore to me the joy of my salvation. And a few hours later, the same day, I'll fall back into the same sin. Pray, cry, ask for forgiveness, the same thing. And the most beautiful thing is that God will still forgive us. As many times as we ask is as many times as He forgives. What I learned that made me break the cycle of sinning and asking for forgiveness is the fact that not only am I jeopardizing my purpose and affecting the people that are connected to me fulfilling my purpose, but sin has consequences. The addiction has consequences. And consequences are bigger than we know and beyond what we can see. The addiction might produce a generational curse if you don't deal with it now. It's so easy for the devil to make you and your future kids and their future kids be all smokers, all alcoholics, all porn addicts if you don't break the bondage now. The addiction satisfies and provides for the flesh. And here's the thing, the flesh is never satisfied. It always wants more and more and more. And that's how the addiction grows. It started as something you usually did just to calm yourself down after a long day, you know, quote unquote, let yourself loose. But now you cannot go a day without doing it, or worse, a few hours without doing it. And it could be worse, and it only gets worse from here or from there, because the flesh is never satisfied. Let's talk about pornography addiction for a bit. Like, the one thing that kept me in bondage for years, and I did not know that God could save me from. Everything that I've said about being in a cycle of sin and all of that, it's not because I heard it somewhere or watched it in a sermon, but it is something that I have experienced, and I experienced for so long. And I could cry thinking about the fact that God has really saved me from this addiction that I did not think was possible to be saved from. but he did. And not just for me, but for a whole lot of other people. And if he can for us, then he can for you. Because like most of the DMs that I get on Instagram is, you know, help, I am addicted to porn, I am addicted to weed or smoking, and like, it's just the one thing that the devil holds against us. And I really have to make this episode to let you know that it is so possible for you to break free of the sin. It is so possible with God. It is 110% possible. And you might think that, well, the addiction is not really hurting anybody, but sexual immorality is us sinning against ourselves. The addiction is harming the most important person, and that is you. And the Bible says our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Romans 8 verse 11 says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you. The addiction makes us powerless, because how can the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, live in us when we have made our body a temple of sin, which is the opponent of the Holy Spirit? Like, sin and the Holy Spirit cannot live in the same temple, not just with porn, but with smoking and getting drunk and a lot of other addictions that, you know, God is probably putting in your mind now as you are listening to this. And we know that these things are a sin because, for example, the Bible mentions in a lot of occasions that we should flee from sexual immorality. It also tells us that drunkenness is the fruit of the flesh, which means that it is a sin. But it doesn't necessarily say something about smoking. So people can be like, oh, the Bible doesn't say do not smoke, so it's not necessarily a sin. And here's the thing, the Bible is not necessarily against the act of smoking, but the reason behind why you smoke. Most people smoke as a stress relief, a coping mechanism. It's basically you letting the blunt or the cigarette take the place of God in your life. We should be going to God to cast our burdens and our stress on Him, and not thinking that inhaling and exhaling this thing will take away our stress. And even if you say, oh, you don't necessarily smoke for stress, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. So what exactly about smoking or that bad habit glorifies God? You cannot say that you smoke as a form of worship. That is absolutely crazy. Like, yeah, don't. That's like, you cannot say that. And some people might hide behind the verse Proverbs 24 verse 16 that says godly may fall 7 times, but they will get up again, but 1 disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. And this verse, you know, the godly may fall 7 times, kind of leaves room for falling. Like, well, I'm Christian and the Bible even says I might fall because, you know, I'm human. I think I've actually mentioned in an episode that, like, the godly may fall, and using that as like leaving room to say that we are human, so we might sin. But what I've learned about this verse is the fact that you cannot deliberately fall. Like, nobody will deliberately trip or like intentionally fall. You fall by mistake. You don't plan to fall. So you cannot plan to sin, you know, consciously know that you were sinning, and then you use this verse saying that, oh, the Bible says the godly might fall 7 times. Like, no, you really have to get to a point where you have the discipline to never fall and flee from it, to get back up, dust yourself, and never go back to it. And yes, no matter how human you are, no matter the temptations that are here on earth, it is possible for you to get back up and never fall again and live a life without the addiction, live a life without sin. And so here is how you die to the addiction. Here's how you overcome the addiction. The first step is to confess. no matter how many times you've done it before, confess again. God doesn't turn his back on us when we've made the wrong choice. As the good and gracious father that he is, he meets his prodigal children again and again when we return, and he offers us his grace. Our father is kind. He is a merciful God. So no matter how many times you've made the wrong decisions, no matter how many times you go back to the sin, come back and ask for his forgiveness. Run to him when you struggle or when you fall into temptation, because he is never too far from us. He can hide his face from us because we're sinning. And the Bible even tells us in Isaiah chapter 59, because of our sins, he hides himself from us and he will not look at us. So he can hide himself from us because he does not want to look at us doing this thing that is apart from him, but he never runs from us. He is always near. And it's very important to shift your identity and know who God says you are. Know who God has called you to be, because the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. So you have an identity in Christ Jesus and he knows us. But it also says in Matthew chapter 7 that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. I will say to you, depart from me, I never knew you. That is letting us know that it is possible for God to not know us, even though he formed us. It is possible for us to lose our identity in Christ. So shift your identity to be in alignment with God, with who God wants you to be, with who you are in Christ. Know that you are not a smoker or a porn addict or an alcoholic or a drug addict, because we are what we do. So do not identify with that, but identify with who God calls you to be. Like in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, he says, you are a chosen pupil, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, he has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do not give into your desires. Loose and bind with your words. Do not give in to your desires. Do not give in to your flesh. Loose and bind with your words. So here's the thing. Everything starts with your thoughts, right? It starts with your mind. Like before you do it, you think about it. So before it becomes an action, you cast and bind it when it is a thought with your words. Like the Bible says in Proverbs 18 verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Also, notice that you cannot think while you speak. For example, try talking and count 1 to 10 in your mind. It's impossible. So your mouth or your tongue is such a powerful weapon because it blocks your mind, which is where the addiction starts in the first place. So you don't dwell in the thought or give your thought time to turn into sin. But as it is a thought, as you think that, oh my goodness, I'm kind of craving a blunt right now, I wanna smoke, whatever thought it is, begin to cast and bind it as it is a thought. Cast and bind it and speak and declare the word of God over it. Like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5, I take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Say that as many times as you can in prayer. I take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. I take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ until the thought flees from you. Before the lustful thought becomes you watching porn, decree and declare with your words. Also, accountability is very important. You, first of all, know that you are not alone. You're not the only one who is struggling with the addiction, no matter what it is. Sometimes it could be lying, pride, lust, anger is an addiction as well. Envy, coping through food or drugs or alcohol. Everyone struggles with something. Well, not everyone, but does everyone struggle with something? I don't think everyone struggles with something. But just know that you are not the only one struggling with the addiction. We all need the grace and the forgiveness of God. And the enemy would lie to us, telling us that you are alone in your struggles. And this will lead to us hiding it and isolating it instead of opening up. Because the addiction grows in isolation. Oh my goodness. When you're the only one doing this, you're the only one who knows that you do this thing, it grows. You give it the perfect environment to grow and to flourish. It's like you're just watering the like the enemy is such a liar. He's such a liar. He'll let you think that you'll be shamed for it, you're the only one going through it, and then you hide. And then when you hide, it grows and it only gets worse. So get out of the isolation. Instead of hiding and isolating, open up to a friend or a community that you trust. Because when we bring the addiction to light, it loosens the power that it has on us. I know the devil might make you think it's embarrassing, but you are not alone. And a big step towards your freedom is being vulnerable about your struggles to someone else. Have someone that will hold you accountable. Have someone that you trust and you will always open up to whenever you feel like going back to it. Have someone that will encourage you in the word of God, that will hold you in your firm foundation, that will hold your hand to obey God's word. Another way to break free from the addiction is through fasting and praying. Mark 9 verse 29, Jesus replies, "This kind can only be cast out by prayer and fasting." The stronghold that addiction is, because it's not just a sin, it's not just a habitual sin, it's an addiction. It's a habit that we don't have control over. And it has such a stronghold on us that in order for it to be dealt with and cut from the roots, like cut from the foundation where it cannot grow again, it takes sacrifice and dying to your flesh. And the one way to die to your flesh is through fasting. Fasting from food, but not just fasting from food, fasting from whatever it is that is connected to your addiction. Is it your phone? Is it the music? You don't even have to fast from the music, but cut it from you totally and completely. Also, take yourself away from the environment that is leading to the temptation. I wish I could perfectly explain my vision while saying this thing, because I think of a crop, like let's say a mango seed being in a good soil that is well taken care of and watered, and there is fertilizer, then it's more likely to grow. So the fertilizer and the water could be the friends that you hang out with that convinces you that, oh, the addiction is normal, or you're just living life, or oh, it's biology. No, thank you. Whatever environment that you are in that cultivates and nourishes and nurtures the sin, take yourself out of it and surrender to God, because you cannot do it on your own. You've probably tried a lot of times and failed. You've probably made the promise of, okay, this is my last time, but you keep going back to it because you're trying to do it by your own strength, which is not possible. You cannot do it on your own. It is a God-sized void that only God can fill. Matthew chapter 19 verse 26, Jesus told us this himself. He said, "With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." with God. So surrender to Him and let Him deliver you and let Him heal you, not just from the addiction, but from what is causing it in the first place. Like, He will deal with it from the root, from the foundation. How He deals with it is in a way that you cannot even go back to it, because He will fill in the void and set you free. And you know, John 8:36, whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. So decree and declare that you are free, even when it doesn't look like it. Say it, believe it, surrender, and act like it. And I'm gonna leave you with a verse that you should hide in your heart and have at the back of your mind at all times. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The temptation in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. First of all, the temptation is no different from what others experience, letting us know that you are not the only one going through it. And God is faithful. He will never let us go through temptations that we cannot bear. So no matter how hard the temptation, the desire seems at that moment, it is not more than you can bear. It is never more than you can bear. Go to God, because He has a way out. Be completely honest with Him. He doesn't judge at all. At all. He doesn't judge at all. Tell Him how you feel, and He will show you a way out. He showed me a way out, and since then I've never looked back. I was 9 and He only set me free when I was 20. Like, fighting the addiction and living in sin for years, but God showed me a way out, and He can do the same for you. Whatever sin, whatever addiction you struggle with, know that God can set you free. And I am being led to pray for you right now. So let us pray. In the mighty and glorious name of Jesus, Lord, I thank You for my brother or sister listening to this right now. I thank You because You've kept them this far, because You have a plan and a purpose for their lives. Lord, I pray that whatever addiction that is an obstacle to Your children fulfilling their God-given purpose, whatever it is that is holding them back, I pray that You bring them out of darkness into Your marvelous light. I pray that You give them a testimony and break them free from every addiction, every bondage, every obstacle. I pray that You surround them with the right people, the right community that can hold them accountable, that can lead them into Your righteousness. For You said in Your word that whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. I decree and I declare by Your word that they are set free to never go back to that temptation. I pray that You fill whatever void it is, and that they shall never go back but find satisfaction in You and You alone. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you so much for listening, and I truly, truly pray that this prayer request turns into a testimony, that you send me a message testifying of God's goodness, that listen, Pearl, God has freed me. I have found freedom from this addiction that held hostage, that held me hostage, that like God has broken the chains, that God has freed me. I pray so hard, God, and I will keep You in my prayers, that God will free you. God will free you. God will free you in Jesus' name. Thank you so, so much for listening. Never forget, Jesus loves you more than the world can comprehend. And it's because of His love and through His love that you are set free. And that this moment right here will be the beginning of your walk to freedom, your walk of freedom, because you're not walking to the freedom, but it's off, because like you've already been freed. And that you just testify, because we overcome by the word of our testimonies. You testify of God's goodness. Thank you so much for listening. See you next week, Monday, and bye. Oh, follow the podcast, Dead to Self Podcast, on Instagram. Thank you. I love you so much, and God bless you.